Welcome back to the Garden Show. And we're going to do our Garden Show Sports Minute. Jared, hit it, please. Well, this week we are going to talk about, believe it or not, that they are having the American Cornhole League World Championships are going on right now. They've been going on this past week. Today is the last day of these championships, and this is the biggest event of the year, and there is more than $250,000 in guaranteed cash payouts. We're talking about throwing a beanbag in a hole, Jared.
Good work if you can get it,
yeah.
Though.
Well, it sounds like fun. And this American Cornhole League was founded in 2015 by a person named Stacy Moore. And because of the pandemic, you know, a lot of sports slowed down. Apparently, cornhole picked up and really took off. And it was, it kind of makes sense because it's like, again, a backyard sport that you can play with anybody. And as opposed to a team sport where, you know, you are a crowd and are going to some public place. So I guess that makes sense. And you can buy cornhole game sets for, you know, anywhere from like $40 to hand-painted specialized ones that are hundreds of dollars. We've looked at that before. So this past Friday, was a celebrity charity event called the Super Hole World Championships. And they took place in Rock Hill, South Carolina, and they were broadcast where actually 8 celebrities and 8 cornhole pros, they competed for $100,000 for charity. Do you know how that turned out, Jared? Were you able to find out anything about that?
I'm still looking for
the results.
Yeah.
So Stacy, the person in charge of the organization, said that their prize money is certainly good, but it's still not anywhere where he wants it to be. To say that our ratings are similar to WNBA, is that basketball? What is that WNBA?
WNBA is the women's NBA.
Okay. And I want Kay Lee to be making as much as a WNBA player. Now, Kay Lee is the woman that's I think she's number one, but she's their stars. Mark Richards and Kay Lee Hunter are considered Cornhole League stars. And so they're hoping to get the prize money up to be competitive with other more well-established sports. So I think that is all kinds of interesting. And still, it's the people that are involved that are really good. This Kay Lee Hunter, she's only been in her second season. And she's a full-time student at a community college. And she's a cornhole professional. She was up and coming last year, but this year she's done a lot better, and she makes TV appearances, and she made a name for herself. It looks like it's just everybody's having fun, but apparently it is really competitive and really profitable. The top male player in the world is also a rookie. He's a phys ed teacher, Mark Richards, and his students aren't even aware that he's a champion cornhole player. So I think that's all very interesting. But I would like to add to that we have a local boy who is a – did you read about this young man?
Are we talking about Jimmy Humans from Jackson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and he is he lost his job as a result of the pandemic, and he's 25 years old, and less than 2 years of becoming a professional, he's competing in South Carolina at the World Championships. And he says if he could win everything, he could probably earn about $40,000. Well, that's not small change.
That's not bad. Yeah.
No, it's not bad for throwing a beanbag. And he's also taking part in the Pro Doubles Tournament, which was on Friday. And he has a partner from Mississippi. And competition among the final teams will actually air on ESPN today. So if you want to watch a little cornhole, and it'll be on ESPN today. So are you warming up your throwing arm, Jared? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever played?
I have, yeah.
Is it as much fun as it seems to be for all these people who are getting into the sport seriously?
It is a lot of fun.
Is it a lot of fun?
It would be a lot more fun if the prize money, you know, was a thing on the amateur circuit.
Well,
the beer league, I guess.
I'll tell you, I like it better than football. Nobody gets hurt.
No.
And it's just fun. And if people can make a little money at it and people enjoy watching it, then it's that much better. So, oh, and I want to throw in that last week's Sports Minute. Do you remember what last week's Sports Minute was, Jared?
Last week was Bill Ding.
Yes, Bill Ding. And we interviewed the woman who has inherited the patent for making Bill Ding. It was her grandfather's, and she and her siblings are now running the Bill Ding production. And apparently she got four orders as soon as she got off the air. So thank you for that.
Nice.
And I did receive some pictures from Nancy of her grandchildren playing with Bill Ding, and also got some texts from people who had remembered Bill Ding from way back when. So that was definitely a hit. Okay, let me give the phone number. It's 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. We do have four open lines, so would love for you to give us a call. And we will be back after this.
Updated forecast for the overnight hours. There's a slight chance of a shower or thunder shower, otherwise mostly cloudy, mid-70s. Heat advisory continues during the daylight hours on Sunday with partial sunshine. Mid-90s, heat index values 100 to 105. And at night, still the possibility of a thunder shower, 75. Monday, partly to mostly sunny. Late day and evening thunderstorms, mid to upper 90s. Heat advisory continues into Tuesday. Tuesday's highs 90 to 95. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Fox Sports New Jersey.
83 degrees in Central Jersey.
It was long ago, back in 1904, that the Vardy family planted their first crops in the rich, fertile soil atop the Watchung Mountains in the little town of Warren. And with each passing year, families near and far shared in the bountiful harvest at Vardy Farms. Today, Vardy Farms still offers your family the best of everything. Jersey fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh peaches, white corn, Jersey tomatoes, melons, and much more, all direct from farm to you. Dewey Meadow chicken pot pies, fresh baked fruit pies, breads, international cheeses, and what's the scoop homemade ice cream. Hardy Vardy mums have just arrived. Vardy's greenhouse special, all shrubs and perennials are now 25% off. Vardy Farms Garden Center has everything you need. Grass seed, pottery, fertilizer, cedar mulch, decorative stone, and more. So load up the kids and come on down to the farm this weekend. Vardy Farms is on Washington Valley Road in Warren, and on that newfangled internet at VardyFarms.com, or follow them on Twitter at Vardy Farms, over 100 years old and still growing.
A Somerset Patriots flex ticket book offers fans the perfect flexible option to come to games at a discounted rate. Each book comes with 20 undated ticket vouchers, redeemable for an upper box ticket to any 2022 Somerset Patriots home game. Upgrades are also available for field box and premium field box tickets. So come see the Patriots play at your convenience. For more information and to grab your tickets today, visit SomersetPatriots.com.
This should be 8x7.
When it comes to closets, Janina's home organization business runs tip-top tidy.
Is this schedule right? I'm going to need help.
But she needs to reorganize and find a new assistant.
I know, it's your last week, but can you make sure the Hanson pantry's wrapped?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
There are moments in your life when you think about what defines you. Mine was the moment when the doctor said, autism.
What do you do next? There is no cure. There is no game plan.
Can you tell me what I'm doing is what I'm supposed to be doing? Because I don't know. Parents are expected to have all the answers, but when your child has autism, there are few answers to be had. That's why families across the country are coming together online to share information and give researchers the insight only they can provide. It's called the EAM Project.
Every child is different, and unless we, as parents, tell the researchers what is specific to our child, how will they know? They don't live with the children. They don't see them every day.
Maybe it's one simple component that we all share, bring about a change.
To join the EAN Project, visit IANproject.org. We all have questions. Together, we'll find answers.
You are listening to The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Join the conversation live. Our phone lines are open. 732-545-9282. That's 732-545-WCTC.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howells, and I'm here with...
We're here with Jared.
Hey, Jared.
Hello.
It's hot.
It is. It was really sticky when I left at 4 a.m.
It was sticky at 4 a.m.?
It was sticky, yeah.
You leave at 4 a.m.?
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the middle of the night.
It is, yeah.
Okay. You're dedicated.
Yeah, I am.
Well, thank you for being dedicated. Okay, Barty Farms still offers your family the best of everything. Farm fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh baked pies and breads, international cheeses, gourmet and organic food items, and Jersey dairy milk. Barty Farms, 118 years old and still growing. Okay, so I worked on a really big project this week. There's this one section where I had planted these really interesting junipers. They were small. They are variegated. They have gold tufts all over them. They're mostly green, but they have gold tufts. And the gold tufts are very interesting and kind of uniformly spaced around the bushes. So I planted them. I got them, you know, at a big box store on sale at the end of the year a few years ago. And they've been growing very slowly, which is good. I don't necessarily need anything to grow real quickly in that spot. But they do block a bit of the chain link fence. And they are right up against a telephone pole. And there is a ground cover, mostly English ivy, which I would never plant, and some myrtle mixed in along the ground. But it was all kind of overgrown. There was what looked like a privet hedge growing right next to the telephone pole. And there was a few cherry trees growing up in it and a lot of Virginia creeper. So I spent quite a bit of time the other day cleaning that all up, and it was hot. It was hot. I think I got a little bit overheated, but now is a good time to do that kind of thing. You know, just cleaning things up, cutting woody weeds back, and just tidying up, because there's not a lot of other stuff you can be doing. And these things, it was just a good time to do that, because I've been cutting back flowers, and the flowers just do not have a long life in this heat. So that's been something that I've been working on. But this was a little project that I had been putting off. It was just getting untidy. And I filled the back of the truck with the branches and the weeds and the Virginia creeper, and just got that all cleaned up, and it looks so much better. But the ground was dry over there. The ground was really dry. All right, we're going to go over to East Brunswick and say good morning to Ira. How you doing, Ira?
I'm good. Have you heard what the Farmer's Almanac had to say?
Yeah, apparently Jared said that we're going to have a lot of snow this winter.
Yes, there is, and a rough winter.
Well, does that make you happy?
It does. I hope the almanac is right.
Well, it's generally pretty reliable, but the weather is also pretty unreliable, so we'll just have to see what happens. I hope we don't get too much snow. I know you really like the snow, Ira, but I enjoy one good snowstorm over the winter, but one is enough for me.
I see. And not only that, I hope the winter's very rough, as the almanac says.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. I have noticed that it doesn't feel like winter yet. There's been no change. It still feels very much like a hot, dry summer. I haven't felt that change in the weather early in the morning that tells that the pendulum is swinging the other way. Not yet. Feels like it's still solidly in the summer. So we'll just have to see what happens, okay?
We're still in the month of August.
Yes, we are. And it feels very much like a hot, dry summer still. It hasn't changed. We're supposed to get some rain this week, though, Ira.
Well, that's good.
That would be good. Okay, you have a great day, and thank you for calling.
You're quite welcome.
All right, bye-bye now. Okay, let me give the phone number because we do have four open lines. The number here, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code is 1-888-545-9282. And we do have four open lines, so if you give us a call, we'll get you on the air right away. And yes, flower maintenance, it's really disappointing. I had some beautiful Rudbeckias. Black-eyed Susan's a tall variety, very tall, and the flowers just are not holding up at all. And they're in at the Ocean Grove House, and every time I go over there, I have to cut off about 20 flowers that have already faded. And the Shasta daisies are just shot. They did not hold up well this year at all, which is very disappointing because they're one of my favorites. Daisies are just such a happy flower. So I'm a little disappointed that they haven't held up. But the time it takes to go in and prune them back all the time is very time-consuming. And I don't know if anybody else noticed, but this year the hydrangeas are not much for a big show, not in general. I've seen certain spots where they were more dramatic. But last year they were so spectacular that I think all of the energy went into last year's flowers, and we didn't get a lot of green shoots because all the energy went into last year's spectacular display. So this year there were not a lot of green shoots that overwintered, and so there's a much lesser display going on. And well, that's kind of unfortunate, but one can say there's a lot of green shoots this year, so next year we can look forward to another big dramatic display. At least I hope so. That is, of course, as long as the hot weather doesn't dry everything up. We're going to go to Piscataway now and say good morning to my good buddy Bob. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good, Peggy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm tired of this, hot, dry weather, but, I'm not alone in that for sure.
Yeah, it's a little played out, tell you the truth. Two reasons for my call. One is, did you see, I saw an article in the Star Ledger this week about a mass of lanternflies that are landing on the beaches in Monmouth County.
I did not see the article, but I know everybody in Ocean Grove is talking about it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They are all over the beach, which is really weird. What are they doing on the beach?
I don't get it. Yeah, I don't understand that. I was thinking maybe they got caught up in some kind of tailwind and then they wound up landing there. But
well, they better have beach badges.
That would be great. Oh, that was funny. Yeah, so I just wanted to pass that along. And here we haven't, last week I was going to call. My wife made a observation that we aren't seeing any lanternflies. So we thought, well, maybe the nymphs all died from the drought or the excessive heat. And then here they are this week. They're starting to pop up again. So.
Well, but that may work. And if it continues to stay dry, that would definitely help minimize the eggs, because the eggs will dry up if it's really hot and dry.
So right, and the nymphs, I guess, didn't have as much to feed on because a lot of vegetation was dying off. So,
well, I've seen a few adults at Tiny Farm, not too many, but I have seen a few, which makes me nervous, but not a lot. And I had seen a few nymphs, but not too many. But yes, everyone in Ocean Grove is talking about the lantern flies on the beach.
Wow, interesting. The other reason for my call is, so I'm tearing up a lot of my stuff in the vegetable garden. The green beans are out. My zucchinis died. They're taken out. One set of cucumbers are out. All my pumpkin plants died. But luckily, I got some pumpkins out of it, so that's cool. But so I want to replant. Is in this heat, is it not a good idea to replant seeds, or is it okay? And if so, with lettuce, should I still hold off before I put lettuce seeds in the ground?
Oh, boy. Well, ordinarily, I'd say, you know, go for it. But I think you might want to wait for a break in the weather before you direct seed, unless you maybe want to start the seed inside and get started inside. And then after they come up and have a little size to them, transplant them out. But maybe by then the weather will have switched.
Right. And this would be with the lettuces or anything and everything.
Well, you know, seed germination definitely requires constant moisture, so there is that problem. If you may, rather than planting in rows, which is obviously the easiest and the best in a lot of reasons, maybe you could start an outside nursery area. You know, where you could start a bunch of things from seed outside. But it would be all in the same area, and that way you would only have to constantly be watering a small patch instead of all the rows, and then you could transplant them out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even looking to start too many seeds. We had a lot of luck with a lettuce head this year that grew on its own, and we let it keep going for like 6 to 8 weeks, and we had a big, beautiful head of lettuce. So it made me rethink about the way I normally plant my lettuce in rows, and we, you know, we'll harvest it as it's growing, but I never get the big heads. So I'm just looking to plant spot, you know, maybe like two or three segments of plant seeds to get larger heads. I don't know if that will really work. I don't know how or why it worked this time, but just to give it a try. I did plant cucumber seeds during this drought, and they've taken off well. I am trying to water them every day, but they succeeded, so that's why I was wondering if I could work with other plants, such as maybe broccoli or cauliflower, chard, kale, stuff like that.
Well, now's the time to do that, Bob, definitely, and you'll get good germination because they like the ground to be warm. They like about 80 degrees is good for germination, but once they get above ground, if it continues to be 100 degrees, those seedlings are going to suffer.
Yeah.
What you might want to do is provide some shade.
I could do that.
You know, after
and
they
I could
come
also,
up.
Like you had suggested, I could either put it in a separate section or in a section where I could actually put an umbrella or something over them when it's really brutal out.
Yeah, something like that. I think I don't think you can do it and completely ignore the extreme conditions. You're going to have to compensate for them to some degree. So either by keeping them all together and then being able to water them more readily, more easily, keep them well watered, maybe put a shade cloth up, something. Once the weather breaks, you'll be fine. But it may be that the weather doesn't break until it's too late to start this stuff from seed.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, you're walking a tightrope there.
Yeah. I could always start them in the cellar like I do in the winter. It's always a start, an idea.
Always a possibility, but nowhere near as much fun.
No. You know, another thing, you know, with water being such a premium, we're trying to, you know, salvage every drop we can. You know, the Home Depot bucket in the shower, et cetera. My wife came up with a good idea this week, and that was to run the dehumidifier in the cellar. And I am getting so much water out of that, I can't believe it.
Well, that's useful and multiple benefits for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're getting like a gallon a day, it seems, at least, if not more. So that's beneficial. But, you know, helps water the plants on the deck, the flowers, so keep them going.
Yeah, the flowers are just drying up so fast.
Yeah, the flower plan didn't work out too good this year, that's for sure.
No, and a lot of things, I know my hydrangeas are suffering. Even the few flowers that they produced have little brown edges on them. It's just, it's just been a little too hot and a little too dry. And Thank goodness that we had so much rain in the spring, because at least they haven't put heavy water restrictions on us yet. We can still use water. I mean, you have to use it judiciously, and you don't want to be wasteful and all that. And doing the things that you're doing is also very helpful. But at least the reservoirs were full. So.
Right. We had a head start going into this.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, we did have a head start. Again, there's two sides to every story. All that rain we had in the spring made everything really lush. And that's a lot to maintain when the ground is this dry. So there's pros and cons to everything, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, that's true. Well, at least I'm getting crops. I'm getting a lot of tomatoes, a lot of peppers. The kielbasa peppers, we grilled some up last week. Boy, were they good.
They are good. They are my favorite. That's something I think I'll grow every year.
One of your other listeners gave me, we traded plants, and he gave me a couple of shishitos, and we grilled those up with it, and holy Toledo. These are both going to be in my rotation every year from now on.
Okay, well, you enjoy. Give Nancy a hug for me, and thanks for calling, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Peggy.
All right, take care.
You
too. Bye-bye. All right, we need to take a break. Is that what we need to do?
We have time?
Okay. So let me give the phone number, because we do have four open lines. The number here, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code is 1-888-545-9282. Now, one of the things that I'm scratching my head about in the garden is my popcorn plant, the one that smells like buttered popcorn, Jared. You know, I've mentioned that to you before. I planted four plants in a square bed, two in one square bed on one side of the trellis and two in a square bed on the other side of the trellis. They are enormous. They are probably, well, the bed is raised, so it's raised about a foot, but they're beginning to push 5 feet tall, and they haven't produced any flowers yet. When you rub the leaves, they most definitely smell like buttered popcorn. But I'm really awaiting the spectacular yellow cones of yellow flowers that are supposed to come. They usually, last couple of years that I grew them, they bloomed much before then. So I don't know, again, if it's the heat that's keeping them. The plants are lush. They look great. So we will just have to see what happens. But I'm expecting flowers any day, and I haven't even seen any buds forming in the center, but we'll see how that goes. Also, I read a very interesting book, part of book club. We had book club this past week. It was called The Moonflower Vines. And it was a story about family in the Midwest. But one of the things that was a high point of what this family experienced was their moonflowers, and that how they would go out as a family at dusk and wait for the bloom, that they would actually watch the flowers unfold, and that they would emit a wonderful scent as they unfolded, and they could actually watch them open. And in the book, they had as many as 24 open in one night. Now, I don't have that many plants. I think I have four or six, I don't remember, growing up on the trellis. And they have made it to the very top of the trellis. I haven't seen any blooms yet, but I've never taken the time to watch them open. Now, they only open at night. So I guess there is a time. Has anybody ever watched them open? Because they are huge. The flowers are quite enormous when they open. They look like white morning glories, but about three times the size. And they are only open at night. And I can see them. I can see them on the trellis from my bedroom window. So I should be able to, you know, spot them and then run out and watch them outside. But has anyone ever watched them open on their own? I think that would be really interesting. Or if there's a clue as to the exact moment, you know, when you go out, is it dusk or is it already starting to really get dark? I know whenever I see them, it's dark out and they like neon lights glowing. They're so spectacularly white in the on the dark green foliage. But I'm curious as to if anyone has ever can give me some hints as to make sure I don't miss it. Right now, we're going to go to Milltown and say good morning to Uncle Art. How you doing?
Good morning, Peggy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I have got great news.
Okay, great news.
I saved my dogwood.
Okay.
Well, remember a couple of weeks ago I called in and it says it's all wilting. I thought I lost it.
Yep.
Well, I did a lot of deep watering.
And it perked up?
And it's beautiful again.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah, well, the ground has been really, really dry. So.
And, well, I'll tell you, the problem is my shed is in that back area, so that takes away some of the exposure dirt. So that, you know, but I put a sprinkler system on it for like 4 times with 2 days in between for about 45 minutes, and it came back. So I'm okay. So happy for your input.
Well, that's good. You gave it a good drink, and that's good. Does it get a little shade, Art?
No shade. Well, yeah, it's some shade, but very little. It's. I know it's supposed to be an under shade tree. Yeah, undergrowth tree, but it gets a lot of sun in the afternoon, and not in the morning or not at late afternoon, but in the heat of the sun, in the heat of the day, it does get sun on it directly. So. But.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you did good. I'm happy for you because you know. Dogwoods are become like old friends, and
it has great flowers in the spring. It's
yes,
just
it does.
Beautiful.
Is it a white one or a pink one?
It's white. It's natural. I moved it down here when we moved here from North Jersey. My father had them in the woods, and he dug one up and brought it down for me. And so it's here for 45 years.
Wow! Oh, that is a special tree.
And it's still got a lot of memories. So anyway, and Andy wants to talk to you. You know, my passion flower is not blooming. One or two blooms only, but lots of buds, but something's wrong with it. Maybe the heat?
It could be the heat. Again, you have to water that deeply every once in a while.
It's watered every day deeply because it's in a pot. It gets water every morning, and when I come home from the pool, it gets some more water. I keep saying, you're a tropical plant. Why don't you like this heat?
Is it possible you're watering it too much? Does it look
It looks limp when I come home.
Oh, well, and then you water it and it perks up?
Yep.
Well, maybe try watering it more heavily one time, like really deeply, really saturating it.
But it's still in the pot that it came from your swap in, so I can only get so much water before it runs out the bottom.
Let it sit in water for a little bit.
Ah, okay. Well, I could do that.
Just a little bit.
And okay, we'll try that today. Thank you.
Maybe that'll... you know, help soak it up. But maybe it needs a bigger pot.
Gets a bigger pot, it's going to have to get a new home because how am I going to bring it back in?
Uncle Art will bring it in.
He will, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's his
Uncle
plant.
Uncle Art has a bum shoulder, remember? Injured reserve. It's terrible.
Get
putting a dish under it and let it sit in some water and see if it gets happier today. It's going to be hot.
Yeah, try that because that'll help a little bit. And maybe, just wondering, when you water it, does the water run right through?
It doesn't wallow on it. I don't see it run. It's standing at the end of the porch and it's on like river rock, whatever. Not slate, but slab type. Stones.
Okay.
I don't see that getting overly wet. You know, it doesn't run out and drip down like some pots when you water it. You can tell if it's just coming through what I call fake dirt. It just runs right through and makes a path and the rest of the pot is dry. But I don't think it's doing that. I mean, it's healthy. It's beautiful. It's growing.
But it's not flowering. Yeah, well, it seems like
it's flower in the beginning. We had like two each day for about a week and a half. And then... it hasn't bloomed since then, but it's been so brutally hot, I'm giving everybody a wide pass, an excuse why they're misbehaving.
Well, that would certainly do it. So it sounds like it's really doing okay. But give it a really, really good drink today and see if that can help. Because if it's getting a little bit dry every day and getting droopy every day, that would be indicating that it's under some stress.
Okay, and as I'm speaking to you, I'd like to make a reservation at the greenhouse.
Okay, for what?
I have you'll love it, a beautiful bubblegum pink geranium. It makes me think of your sweatshirt.
Oh.
I said, I'm going to see if I can talk Peggy into taking this in for the winter, and she can propagate it, and we can share it, because it was one of my quarter plants from my grocery store. I mean,
okay.
I revived it, and it bloomed beautifully.
All right, I'll try to propagate that one. That sounds like fun. I propagate the red ones all the time. But
I know. Mine are from you are magnificent. I never saw such big, rich red geraniums. They're just beautiful.
So I keep them going because I use them in the Ocean Grove house. I use them in the basket, so I keep them going. They look really good on the porch.
I have tried to propagate them. You know, I mean, I have to keep them in my house, but I've never had any luck. So it's either you adopt this or it might be sudden
okay.
death.
All right, I'll take that one. I will definitely take that one.
Okay, we'll talk soon.
All right, everything else good?
Everything's good. We had our grandsons here overnight, and we had them at the Borough Pool, and they woke up this morning saying, can we go back to the pool? I said, well, it doesn't open until noon. We have to go to church first. So, but it was a good day. We had fun.
Okay, you enjoy that, and I will talk to you again very soon.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, so I'm going to give the phone number, 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. We have four open lines, so if you give us a call, we'll get you on the air right away. Jared, we're going to take a little break now, and we will be back after this.
Updated forecast for the overnight hours. There's a slight chance of a shower or thunder shower, otherwise mostly cloudy, mid-70s. Heat advisory continues during the daylight hours on Sunday with partial sunshine. Mid-90s, heat index values 100 to 105. And at night, still the possibility of a thunder shower, 75. Monday, partly to mostly sunny. Late day and evening thunderstorms. Mid to upper 90s, heat advisory continues into Tuesday. Tuesday's highs 90 to 95. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for Fox Sports New Jersey.
84 degrees in Central Jersey.
This is another Health Minute brought to you by St. Peter's Healthcare System.
Medical emergencies are a part of life, and they don't stop during the COVID-19 pandemic. So it's good to know that St. Peter's University Hospital has separate treatment areas and stringent safety protocols in place to safely care for patients in their adult emergency department. St. Peter's Adult Emergency Department is staffed with trained emergency medicine physicians and nurses, all backed by leading-edge technology and state-of-the-art facilities. From stroke care to minor injuries, asthma attacks, fractures, and more, they're treating patients safely. And if you're experiencing any COVID-19 symptom, they'll get you screened and tested with faster turnaround times. Quoting Dr. Borislav Stoev, Chair of Emergency Medicine at St. Peter's, in an emergency, St. Peter's knows that every second counts because the sooner a patient is treated, the better. To learn more about the emergency department at St. Peter's, visit stpetershcs.com/emergency.
For one entire month, you all voted for the best bar in New Jersey. And now we have a winner. Bubba's 33's in Old Bridge is the 2022 Bracket Bar Brawl Champion. Located off Route 9 at the Gateway Shopping Center in Old Bridge Parlin, Bubba's has been serving pizza, burger, and beer surrounded by wall-to-wall live sports coverage to locals since 2013. Head to Bubba's for a great night out with family and friends. Bubba's 33, your 2022 Fox Sports New Jersey Bar Brawl Champion.
Bring your group to see the Patriots play at TD Bank Ballpark. Whether you're enjoying the game from a discounted group rate, from our Diamond Club or one of our private suites, or out in left field at our party deck or the ballpark barbecue, there's an experience fit for every type of group. Coordinate a field trip to one of our afternoon games or bring the whole crew to spend your birthday with the Patriots at TD Bank Ballpark. For more information and to schedule your group to see the Patriots, visit SomersetPatriots.com.
Nothing inspires imagination like reading, and it's never too early to start reading to your children. When you open a book, you can explore new worlds like the ones in the Chronicles of Narnia.
Everything you see is Narnia.
Impossible.
You can make new friends, discover amazing adventures, and most of all, have fun.
Are you prepared for what awaits you?
To find out more about the wonders of reading, you can visit the Library of Congress website at www.loc.gov. There, you can learn more about books, play fun games, discover cool facts, and so much more. You can log on to www.loc.gov and let your journey begin. This message has been brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
The new Talk Radio 1450 WCTC, the voice of Central Jersey. The Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballester-Howells. And yes, it is a very hot, dry summer. The pros of that are that the produce that is produced during a hot season is usually free of disease because the disease does not do well in this weather. And the sugars are concentrated because the plants don't have as much moisture in them, so they tend to be sweeter. So you get a very good quality product. It may be reduced in size, but the flavor and the condition of it is usually excellent. And at this time of year, it's also time to begin to think about some fall planting. And so if you want to plant any bulbs for next spring, you want to get your orders in now. I've ordered a few things for myself. I've ordered some giant alliums, two different kinds, and some yellow crown imperials. There's one other bulb that I want to order that I haven't gotten around to ordering yet from a different company, but there is a daffodil that has a red center that I would really like to order. And so I'll try to remember to do that this week. But now you want to get your orders in because planting is done in generally October. You can plant as late as Thanksgiving, but you definitely can start in October. That's really the ideal time. But something that you may not be aware of, I mean, everyone knows about tulips and daffodils and a lot of spring flowering bulbs, but there are also fall flowering bulbs. There are my favorite are the fall blooming crocus, which is just a spectacular thing that happens in the fall. Perennial, comes back every year. There's the true fall crocus, and then there's something called colchicum, which is called autumn crocus, which is really, it's not really a crocus. It looks like a crocus. Botanical name is colchicum, and there's most of them are pink, but there are also white ones, and they are it's the plant that you get colchicine from, which is used medicinally. But the autumn crocus, the other autumn crocuses that bloom, there are several different kinds. They come in different colors, but the most famous of them all is the saffron crocus. Jared, you know about them?
Do you know? Yes, we've
talked about
it,
right? But saffron is considered one of the most expensive spices in the world, and it comes from a crocus that blooms in the fall. And you can harvest the little parts of the plant that make up the saffron. They come out of the center. And I think it takes 30,000 plants to make a pound. But you can harvest enough for your own use. And the bulbs are actually cheaper than the spice. And then you can harvest it every year. So the saffron crocus, which you can plant now and will bloom in September. And I'm looking at one place right now, and you can get a bag of 15 for $10.65, and you plant them, and they bloom in the fall, and they'll come back every year, and they are hardy. There are other fall blooming crocuses as well. They're, this particular website that I'm looking at right now has the white and the pink colchicum, but it also has the saffron crocus, which is a kind of a lavendery color, and white ones. But there are others as well, so you may be able to find. I believe that there are six varieties of crocuses that are hardy that will bloom in the fall. So you may want to look for those and get your order in right away because you want to get them planted as soon as possible so that they will bloom for you in September or October. So that's kind of a fun thing, a little bit different, and something you can plant now. You might want to water the ground before you plant, but now is the time when they generally go in the ground, and then they'll come back every year. All right, we're going to go to New Brunswick and say good morning to Hope. How are you today, Hope?
Okay. How are you doing, Peggy?
I'm hanging in there. I could use a break in the weather like everybody else, but I'm doing quite well. What can I do for you?
I have a couple questions. They said, I looked up the moonflower, they said right after the sun goes down, they should start to open.
Right after the sun goes down. Okay, I will look for them. I don't know that I have any flower buds yet, but the vines are quite healthy, so I will check on them and see if there's any buds coming.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. Have you ever grown them?
I have them in the yard now, but I'm just going to use it as like a ground covering because I didn't put a trellis up.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that should be interesting. That might make for some pretty pictures when it opens and the ground is covered in white flowers.
Yeah. So we'll see. I'll let you know.
Okay.
I have a pepper plant in like a styrofoam. It's a styrofoam pot. And that's the one that keeps wilting. It perks up and then she wilts again. And I don't know what, could it be the styrofoam pot?
No, it just sounds like it needs more water. And maybe try putting it in a bigger pot. Can you do that?
Okay. Yeah, and then that was one of my, I can start, if I wanted to transplant plants to a bigger pot, I could do that too with this hot weather?
Yeah, it actually probably advisable. Preferably, it's going to be plants with an intact root system. You know, sometimes you pull plants out of the pot and you get the whole thing. Everything comes out intact and you just pop it in a bigger pot with fresh soil around it. That's good. If it comes out of the pot and it shreds and all the roots break off and there's not enough roots to hold it all together, that might not be so good. So you want to look and make sure that that you do as little damage to the roots as possible. And then, of course, if you're planning on doing this, make sure you water the plants thoroughly before you transplant them.
Okay.
And not just right before. Give them a chance to soak up the water so that if they do go into a little bit of shock, they won't already be halfway towards wilting.
Okay.
And then water them thoroughly after you transplant them as well. Right.
Okay. Thank you. And then Lacy type, it's on a tomato plant, and the angel trumpet, the leaves. Would that be from those lantern flies?
I don't think so. No. Well, there's a lot of things that make I'm leaning more towards Japanese beetles to do that.
Oh, okay. Wow. I didn't see too many of them, but maybe.
Have you seen a lot of lantern flies?
They're less now. I did see them, but they're less now.
Okay. Well, I don't think lantern flies, I would have to double check. I'm not sure the kind of damage that, I don't think lantern flies do that. I think they do more sucking, but let me double check on that for you and I will get back to you. But if you're not seeing the lantern flies, then it's probably not them.
Okay. And then I finally found my balsam seeds. Can I plant them now and I'll at least get to see them this season?
Ooh, balsam seed now? I don't know. I would be surprised. With this heat and everything, I would be surprised if you would have much success at this time.
Okay, and do you think I could keep them for next year?
Yeah, keep them in the refrigerator.
Oh, okay. I'll have to. I have them in the shed. All right, I'll put them in the refrigerator.
Yeah, that makes a big difference if you keep them in the refrigerator.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Anything else I can do for you?
No. We can do a dance so we get rain, right? No.
Yeah. Hey, if I had to dance naked in the backyard, if it was a guarantee that would get me rain, I'd do it. But but without a guarantee, I don't think so. All right. You have a great day. Okay. Bye bye.
You too. Take care.
Okay. So let me give the phone number again, because we're back to having four open lines. The number is 545-9282. Outside the 732 area code, it's 1-888-545-9282. Okay, so here we go. Leaves are, the damage from the spotted lanternfly caused the leaves to wilt or curl up and sap spilling out of wounds made in the tree. It does not appear that the damage is that the plants look lacy, much as what I thought. I hadn't actually ever heard of that. So if there's actual holes in the leaves and parts of the leaves are missing, then it's probably something else. Japanese beetles are more famous for that. They'll eat a lot of things. And, of course, in the garden on the cabbage family plants, the cabbage loopers are famous for eating holes. And let's not forget the tomato hornworm, which will eat up almost a whole tomato plant in one night. They're voracious eaters, but the spotted lanternfly does not do that kind of damage. All right, we're going to go back to Milltown and say good morning to Kathy. Hey, Kathy, what's up?
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you once again for those kirbachi pepper plants. They are so yummy.
Aren't they the best?
And prolific.
Yes,
I mean,
they are prolific.
I love them, and I just hope that I'll be able to germinate them again next year. I'll try again anyway. I can just take one of the peppers off and just dry the seeds, or should I just buy them again?
Well, if you try that, let me know how it goes, because I don't know if they're going to breed true. I don't know if they're a hybrid or not.
Gotcha. I'll just buy the seeds then.
But if you come, I'll be growing them, and I always grow extra for the plant exchange. So,
and these came out so big, and I'm like, you were thinking that they weren't going to matter, you know, come about to anything, but they are gorgeous plants. Gorgeous.
Were they the little plants, the kind of weak plants from the
end? Yes.
They recovered. Oh, that's good to know. That's great. Well, I do like to grow extra of everything that I grow for the garden. It's really no big deal to do a few extra for the plant exchange, and I will be doing kirbachi peppers. I will have kirbachi peppers every year. They are a great
excellent
pepper.
I will be there.
Okay. Well, I will look forward to that. Is there anything else?
The eggplant was creamy as ever. The long, stringy ones?
The stringy ones, yes.
Yeah. Oh, so good on the grill.
Yes.
Okay, my question right now, I'll be quick. My fig trees, they have a little bit of rust on the figs. Should I be concerned?
Rust on the figs?
Yeah, you know, like browning.
Are you sure they're not just drying up?
It could be. The leaves look fine. I was just wondering whether it's these damn lantern flies that are doing something to
them. Have you seen any lantern flies on them? Well, they could be sucking the juices out, because that's what the lantern flies do.
That's probably what it is. Okay. All right. We'll keep our fingers crossed and we get, because I have so many figs on it, but.
Well, that's exciting. Are all the figs damaged or just a few?
Pretty much a lot of them, yeah.
Oh, that's disappointing. Try peeling them.
Oh, okay.
And you know, at least just a little bit. You don't want to waste figs. I mean, figs are amazing.
Sure.
And
yeah, they're so yummy and delicate.
Yes, they are. And I have figs on several of my fig trees this year. Last year was the first year I had any significant number of figs, and it looks like I'm going to have more this year. So I'm hoping.
Good.
I'm hoping.
That's a good thing.
Yes, that's a very good thing. So,
okay, great. I just wanted to let you know the kirbachi peppers are on the spot on.
Okay, you know that I have a theory about the figs.
What?
It wasn't an apple in the Garden of Eden. It was a fig.
True.
Okay, now you have to hear my theory, because it's based on fact. Apples require a chilling in order to produce a fruit. They have to experience cold over the winter. Now, the Garden of Eden was paradise, and Adam and Eve were running around naked in there. I don't think it got cold enough.
Cold
to
yeah.
produce an apple. Okay, so put that thought aside. Have you ever seen? I mean, when they sinned and they were, chastised and they were told that they had to get covered. Do you think that they grabbed an apple leaf to cover themselves? What is an apple leaf going to cover? What leaf do they always have in all the pictures?
Here you go.
What? It's a fig leaf, right?
Yeah.
It's a fig leaf.
They are huge.
They are huge. And in all the pictures and on all the statues, wherever there are parts.
And the drawings.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a fig leaf. Because they got in trouble and they reached up and they grabbed a fig leaf, because it was a fig, which is a tropical plant that would have grown in the Garden of Eden.
In paradise.
And in my opinion, it is a fig is a whole lot more tempting than an apple.
I have to agree with you there.
Okay, Kathy, you have a great day.
And
enjoy your figs. Okay, thanks for calling.
Right,
bye-bye now.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Well, that pretty much wraps things up on a very cheerful and silly note about figs, but they are pretty luscious and very ambrosia-like. So I will be here next week, same time, same place. Until then, you guys have a good one. Bye-bye.
broadcasting from the Davis Insurance Agency studios.
Up all night with the world of sport. Join Ben Maller weekdays from 2 to 6 a.m. on Fox Sports New Jersey, a Beasley Media Group station, 93.5 FM, W228DY, and 1450.